As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Listen up, Friar faithful. 97.3 The Fan's Padres Roundtable is on the air.
Unbelievable!
It's time to discuss everything going on with the Padres. The 97.3 The Fan crew is here for the most in-depth discussion on the Friars in our weekly Padres Roundtable, delivered by San Diego Roundtable Pizza. And now, here's your host, Ben Higgins.
Introduce the panel here today. At the far end, we've got Matt Scraby, Tony Gwynn Jr., always good to see Tony in town. We've got Paul Reindl in the middle, Braden Soprenant, Chris Ello, and I am Ben Higgins. So let's start where, well, obviously we're going to start. Tony, I'll let you have the floor to start your reaction to the trade this morning. A lot of people think it was an overpay, but Mason Miller is certainly one of the most electric arms in all of baseball.
Not an overpay. Leo's, you know, probably 2 years away at this point. Manny, Toddy, Bogey, everybody will be older. And I think what goes kind of, you know, not talked about is the kind of control you have. I mean, these are guys who are prospects that are actually doing stuff at the big league level that you can quantify how good their talents actually play. We can't do that. As good as Leo is, and I think he's going to be one of the top guys that comes up, we can't quantify it. It's not at the big league level. You can quantify what Miller is doing. You can quantify what J.P. Sears is doing. And if you're into winning right now, I think there's no reason for you to be upset.
Braden, what was your initial reaction to the trade?
You know, similar to Tony, but also like a little bit hesitant just on the Leo DeVries situation. I know obviously you have to give up something good to get something good in return. And I'm not, trust me, I'm not a big into prospects guy, but you know, I feel like you got to keep, you know, at least one through your system that you can bring up to help out, especially with a team that has a lot of long-term contracts. You need some young guys to kind of offset some of those contracts. So losing Leo, I think, is down. But I think there's a lot of positives to this trade, and I obviously don't think he's A.J. Preller and company are done. But you got Mason Miller for a long period of time now, and he's only 26 years old, throws 104 miles an hour, has the ability to start in the past. I don't know if they want to pursue that or not. I know he had a little bit of arm issues at the beginning of his career when he was doing that. So I think that's no guarantee, but I do think that's intriguing. You get a starting pitcher for the next couple of years, too. I think this move really plays into their offseason moves of being ready to, you know, have a pitching staff in the near future. You have found your replacements for Dylan Cease and Robert Suarez for 2026. I think that's a something that should be talked about as a big upgrade to the Padres team.
Chris Ello, you've never been known as a prospect hugger when it comes to your baseball fandom, so I can imagine that you're okay with this deal, but what was your first reaction?
I'm ecstatic. I'm absolutely ecstatic. And I'm going to be, I'm going to take a little different, you know, look at somebody that isn't excited by this. Don't you all want to win? Doesn't everybody want to win now? Do you really want to take your shot at winning 3 years down the road? Tony's right. All of the superstar players they have now are going to be older by the time Leo DeVries is ready. Secondly, doesn't he play shortstop? DeVries, I know we've moved everybody else, but we have a shortstop, and he's signed for a long time. This is a great trade. This is exciting. This, again, stamps the Padres as a team that are trying to win the championship this year. I don't know how you can ask for anything else. And I think, you know, from a reasonable point of view, you do have to say, let's wait till the end of the day before we make a final analysis.
I agree.
Matthew Scraby, you're usually a voice of concern at times on the radio station. Do you have any concern to add to the roundtable?
He didn't say voice of reason. He said voice of concern.
You know, I remember when we first started, all of us together. Yeah,
that was good.
All of us together. Braden, Paul, and myself did a show, and I did not want to trade prospects for Mookie Betts, so I was labeled a prospect hugger. I have completely changed on that. Although I did wake up seeing this and I was like, wow, this is pretty crazy that they're trading Leo Dallas DeVries. He's, and I think a problem too is that the fan base has been sold. He's the next big thing. And so that's what I think people are looking at when they're trying to figure out how to feel about this. Because if he is the next big thing, then that's great, but it's going to take a while for him to get there. And so I don't necessarily understand the people that are calling me stupid out there for this, but I kind of get why there's a little bit of anger.
Paul, you and I have been reacting to this on the air for the last 2 hours. And I think Tony's point about the extra control, 4 years for Mason Miller and 3 seasons for J.P. Sears, does make a lot of sense, and it's a very important part of this. I am still surprised, though, that you could give up your top prospect and not address the biggest issue on your team, and that is the offense and finding a bat. You've obviously added to a strength, but you still have a lot of things to do, and now you have less prospect capital to go out and do it the rest of the day.
Yeah, I was definitely surprised. I was 100% surprised, and I think, you know, now it's been a couple of hours. I fall into the camp of I like the move, because I think right now the Padres big league team is better than it was yesterday. It's terrible radio. I understand that to say, let's just wait and see what it looks like at 3:01. But, you know, that is a factor for sure. You got to wait and see what else AJ has in mind. I would bet a lot of money that that's not the only move that is made today.
Exactly.
And then we look at the whole day, you know, you take a step back and we look at everything. To give up the number 3 prospect, though, and not address a bat, concerning, but again, you would have to be thinking that AJ's done right now to really start to make a more final decision on it, and I don't think he's done, even not even close.
I think everybody is looking at this, they're complicating this too much. The issue for the Padres has been the bottom part of the lineup. You don't need to go get a big bat to slide people down. You can address the actual spots that you feel like could use an upgrade. And so I don't necessarily think that because he gave up the number 3 prospect that you got to get the same type of bat back. You can now get, I mean, there's the Lirianos of the world out there who are having good seasons that will take less to get. Those guys are, there's a few of those guys out there that can be had that would be of help at the bottom portion of the lineup.
And almost every one of those guys, like I think, I mean, Tommy Pham's name pops up in trade rumors every year, and I know he's out there again this year, and I'm like, wouldn't that be like an instant upgrade still over left field? I mean, there's a lot of guys out there like the Lorianos, the Tommy Pham's that you still can go and get. You still have the prospect capital, or maybe you move some major league parts, but it wouldn't hurt you. And anybody that you get, I think, is still an instant upgrade in left field.
Well, let's predict what may happen the rest of the day. I think the biggest question, I agree, that they will add some sort of offense at the bottom of the lineup somehow. But the biggest question, at least now, this morning, is will Dylan Cease and Robert Suarez still be on the Padres after 3 p.m.? Chris, do you think this is a sign that they are going to be traded, or do you think this is a sign, as you said, they're all in going for a title, that they're going to keep those guys?
Well, I think they're going to trade both of them.
You do?
Yeah, I do, and I think that they're going to get Stephen Kwan or something of that, you know, ilk. I think Kwan is the best fit at this moment. I don't disagree with Tony, but I think Stephen Kwan is an upgrade. And looking, even though I'm all about taking
the
it
reporting
one year
was
at a time,
that the Guardians wanted DeVries for the Kwan right. package, that's so the, he's the, gone now.
Yeah, I think that's what's being sounds like is being said is that the going package for any one of those bigger guys was a DeVries, whether we're talking a Duran or in this case, who did you just mention again?
Kwan.
Well, he's off the board now.
All right. Well, we'll see. This is what everybody's rumored. I also read somewhere that, you know, Leo Dallas DeVries was absolutely 100% untouchable, and apparently he wasn't. So let's just see how the day plays out. I think they're going to trade these guys. The reason Braden and I talked about this just before we went on, and I think we kind of see eye to eye, I think. Shouldn't speak for him.
Well, we're about to find out.
It is possible if they get Kwan that they have their Luis Arraez for the future and in more control and more affordable. And it's possible if they trade Cease and Suarez, they've replaced those two guys already with guys that are cheaper and more affordable going forward. So the team to me is just as good, but the future, and when you're looking at some of the finances, I think everything slots in a lot better if those other two trades are made.
But you're kind of hinting at something, and I want to get Braden's reaction to it. If you do trade Suarez and Cease, it's probably to a team that's trying to win now, so they're going to give you prospects. And unless you can quickly flip those guys, then you really haven't gotten that much better. You've replaced one all-star closer with another. You've placed one starter, J.P. Steers, for Dylan Cease, but you haven't really improved yourself yet at the deadline if that's the direction that you go.
I think if you flip Suarez and get prospects back, and yeah, I think Mason Miller is better than Robert Suarez. I do. I think you are upgrading that position.
But in what way though? Wins way, because they both. I mean,
I think he's better. I just think he looks better. I just think he's a better player.
Like comfortability.
And he's younger.
One run lead in the ninth inning.
I feel more comfortable. And now I don't watch A's games every day, yeah. But like, and who knows how many times he might do with runners on base. But I do think he's an upgrade at the closing position. He's younger. He's controllable and everything like that. To go back to what Chris is saying, I could see them doing that. And, I mean, we know about it with A.J. Preller. Guy's got 1,000 lines in the that article that they had in The Athletic about A.J. Preller's deadline. Guy puts 1,000 fishing lines and sees what he can draw up. I mean, there might be some players that Cleveland likes on other teams that are prospects that he knows he can go get with maybe a Cease or a Suarez, and he can add that piece to maybe get a Kwan deal done. To me, if they are able to get a guy like Stephen Kwan, which Tony said would be a bigger bat, I agree with Chris. It's you're replacing Arraez for the offseason, again, future-wise, with a younger, better defensive version and cheaper in terms of his salary, Luis Arraez. And so from that standpoint, it's almost like you're keeping some of these guys that you're going to lose in free agency, and they're cheaper, and to me the window is a little bit bigger. But I do agree with Tony. It'd probably be a lot easier to just go after and get a guy that bats seventh and a guy that bats eighth, like a Laureano, and make it cheaper and not have to give up a ton. But we haven't really seen A.J. Preller do that too many times. And then the last thing, to go with what you said on the reporting, Buster only did have, after the Padres made the trade, that rival execs think the Padres are potentially going to get one of Duran and Kwan. I don't know why the Duran thing is still circling around, but apparently the Padres are nagging the Red Sox for that. So from that perspective, and just knowing A.J. Preller, I just think everything's on the table, even though they got rid of DeVries. He gets creative.
Well, and it would be, I mean, looking at some of the prices that have been paid for relief pitching, it would be like malpractice to not at least entertain any offer on Robert Suarez.
I agree.
Now that you have another closer and, the four horsemen, horsemen right now, but seeing what teams are giving up for relief pitching, if you have a guy like Suarez and you can move him, look, I'll be fine if they keep him, because that means that bullpen is just even dirtier than it already was. But you have to at least answer the phone and hear what other teams are saying based on what other teams have paid for relief pitching.
Matt Scraby, what do you think? Dylan Cease and Robert Suarez, are they still on this team, either of them, after 3 p.m.?
I think Dylan Cease is, but Robert Suarez I don't know about, just because of what they did with Mason Miller. And they kind of sort of did this a few years ago when they had Josh Hader on the team. They gave Robert Suarez an extension to make him the closer of the future. Mason Miller is under control until through 2029. So he's going to be on this team for a while unless they flip him for someone else later on down the road. But I think that Robert Suarez, unfortunately, might be the odd man out just because of the contract that he has and the potential option that he's going, that he can, it's a player option. So he's the guy who's going to make the decision on that. And of course, he's probably going to take it, or he's going to decline it and want a bunch of money. Like, I think that you had to do this to get Mason Miller in a Padres uniform as a closer for the next or for the foreseeable future.
Is there any concern with the way it sits right now? And again, I think we all are agreeing that we're talking out of school because we don't know the final product at the end of the day. But if this was the final product at the end of the day, adding to a strength, which is what they clearly have done at the moment, they have added a great bullpen arm to an already great bullpen. Is there any concern that the Adam Frazier type of thing steps up where he came in and it kind of moved everybody around and it wasn't really his fault, but they didn't really have a spot for that? Is it possible that you bring another closer in, and now what do you do with everybody?
Well, I brought it up at the end of our show, and I want to know what Tony thinks. Robert Suarez has earned the right to opt out and probably get a big free agent contract at the end of this season. How does he react if he's bumped from being the closer? I think Mike Schilt probably keeps Robert Suarez as the closer and makes Mason Miller more of the setup man if both guys are still on the team, which remains to be seen.
I think you're a fool if you think that Mike Schilt is going to remove Robert Suarez.
I don't think he will.
I think, you know, everything that we know about Mike Schilt tells you that he is not going to do that unless Robert starts struggling for some reason and then there's an opening. I just don't see that happening. Whether they'll both be on the team, I really don't know, man.
This is the only move that's made. Mike Schilt's heartbroken that he's going to have to send one of his lower bullpen guys down to AAA already. You know, right? I can't do this to this guy.
It makes him super deep. With AJ, man, we're all thinking he zigs when we zag. He goes left when we go right. I don't know.
I agree with you. In that world, Mike Schilt has the most valuable thing any manager can have. He has a left-hander in Adrian Morey home that if he sees a couple lefties coming up in an inning, devastating. Yep. And he'll have a right-hander in Mason Miller. If he sees some righties coming out in an inning, you have very little chance if you're an opposing offense.
I remind everybody, when Tanner Scott came over last year, he was probably considered the best closer in baseball at that time. And what did they do? They put him in the eighth inning, and they kept Robert where it was, and it just only made that part of the bullpen that much stronger.
Your rotation got more depth, too. I mean, the rotation's pretty solid, and that's, and I know, let's say you hang on to Cease, right? You got enough guys that can start games for you where I think you'd feel comfortable in a playoff series.
Here's the other thing, and I think we forget about it. We still have however much portion of this season left. Do you remember how valuable Martin Perez was last year at the end of the year? I mean, J.B. Sears is probably far ahead of that at this point, and you are going to lengthen out your bullpen, especially if Darvish is pitching the way he pitched yesterday. King's coming back. You're setting yourself up to finish the season in a way that they finished it last year. But again, we still got however many hours left. I just feel like there's something else coming.
If they don't make another move, they almost don't need a starting pitcher for the playoffs. I mean, really, they need somebody to go through the batting order one time, and then you can bring in five of the best relievers in baseball.
Randy Vasquez, game one
close
starter.
Out again. Yeah, Vasquez might be perfect for that for the three innings. But this is an embarrassment of riches right now, Ben. That can't possibly be what they're going to end up doing because, as we've all already said, hitting is the issue on this team, not what they addressed today.
Yeah, and you guys kind of hinted at what my next topic was going to be. It's our 97.3 The Fan.
Sorry, Ben. Just to stay on topic with Suarez, because Dennis Lynn has just put out a new story, and he says, unless someone blows them away over the next several hours, the Padres appear inclined to keep Suarez as part of a newly upgraded super pen. Meanwhile, continuing to discuss Dylan Cease with interested teams.
Super pen. There we go.
Is that not how the Dodgers won the World Series last year?
No.
I like Filthy Five. It's not bad.
Oh,
I like
we're already working on nicknames.
We went through a couple of potential nicknames.
Again, Tony's reaction to that immediately.
It's our 97.3 The Fan Padres Roundtable presented by San Diego Roundtable Pizza. It really is pizza royalty. You mentioned J.P. Sears, and I guarantee you, A.J., when he talks about this trade at the end of the day, is going to mention, hey, this is an important part of the deal. How do you see the rotation now shaping up going forward? What have you heard about J.P. Sears? years. Tony, you kind of mentioned, yeah, he's better than certainly Martin Perez was coming over.
That's no knock on Martin because he was terrific for us when he came over here last
year. You know, and then with guys like Ryan Berger and Steve Ohlick continuing to do a good job and Randy Vasquez, how do you think they kind of make it work going forward? Obviously, it depends on whether Dylan Cease is still on this team, too.
Is that for me?
That can be for you. Okay. Yeah, you can start there.
I think it sets them up really well. I mean, obviously, JP's got more control. So if you keep, let's say you end up keeping Dylan, he can walk at the end of the year. You kind of feel like you have a replacement for him. Listen, I think if indeed the Padres are able to hang on to Ryan Berger before this deadline ends, I think they have a good group of really young pitchers in Vasquez and Berger and Kolek, who I think that they like. Now, I'm talking about future-wise. For the rest of this season, I think it's going to look a lot like it did last year. I think if they can buy Darv an extra day like they did this last time, you saw the results, I think they'll try to do that. And you got some depth to be able to get you to the season. And if this offense, which I would say for the last 2 weeks has been trending upwards, they starting to play a little similar like they were last year, you got yourself a good recipe to perhaps catch the Dodgers before this season ends.
Yeah.
Understanding power requires more than headlines. I'm Peter Hamby, host of The Powers That Be, a podcast from Puck examining politics, economics, and media to provide context, analysis, and clarity without sensationalism. We ask how power operates, who benefits, and what's at stake. If you want to move beyond breaking news to deeper understanding, join us on The Powers That Be. New episodes every weekday. Follow The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
You can never have too much pitching, but Braden, the Padres, I mean, knock on wood, at least feel like they have enough pitching going forward here to get to where they want to go on that side of the ball.
Yeah, I think they match up pretty well with the rotation and everything. I mean, like Tony said, you throw those arms in there for the rest of the year, and like we said with this move, you know, it helps you for the future. You start looking at 2026. You know, you should be getting Joe Musgrove back, right?
Right.
And he still wants to pitch in October, which, you know, he's progressing well. I don't know how great of an idea that is, but
he's a psychopath.
Not into the super pen,
right? Exactly. He wants to be an opener in a game. There's your one guy, Chris. He can
Sexy
Joe Musgrove
six.
Can start game one of the NLDS.
I don't see the Padres giving up a run this entire postseason, Brayden. Doesn't mean they'll win the game,
right?
But they won't give up a run.
You know, and I think, and I don't want to be spoiled by the last start of Yu Darvish, but the thing with Yu Darvish is, you know, he knows how to, I mean, he ages well because he knows how to get people out, and he knows how to mix up pitches and everything like that. So, like, he's expected to be part of the rotation next year. Joe Musgrove's supposed to be back next year. You got Pivetta another year. Now with J.P. Sears, you got four guys at least. And then you got, as Tony said, assuming they don't get traded during the deadline, next year you got Bergert and Vasquez and Kolek all competing for a spot. You're set up now for a rotation that going into this season looked very bleak of, we got to sign King or Cease to an extension. Otherwise, who's going to pitch in 2026? Are we going to make Morahone a starting pitcher? So I like the depth. It's good to have depth from a pitching standpoint. Now, offensively, they could use a bat. They could use a bat in a very big way. I agree with Tony. You know, I don't really think it doesn't have to be a big bat. It would be nice for it to be a bat that you don't have to worry about replacing during the offseason. But they do need a stick, and they could probably use two. And just to say with the, you know, the catching situation, we've already known that unless it's like a huge deal, you're probably going to have Diaz and Maldonado catching for the rest of the year, and they view that as a defensive position. And you know what? They both got their averages up to the point that the Padres, during spring training, said they would stomach, which is 200. So if they get a bat, it's probably just maybe one that they need, and it could be an average bat. And all of a sudden, your team's looking like a team that can track down the Dodgers, who tried to upgrade their bullpen, it looks like.
Yeah, Jeff Passan just tweeting that the Dodgers are finalizing a deal to acquire right-handed reliever Brock Stewart
from
the Minnesota
Dodger.
Twins. Oh, he was a Dodger before, and now he's back.
Yeah.
You know, I wonder, and we talked about it a little bit this morning.
Can you read that?
Is it possible that the Dodgers were trying to get Mason Miller as well? I'd almost be surprised if they weren't. And perhaps A.J. Preller felt like an overpay was a little more warranted to, you know, make sure the Dodgers went after a Brock Stewart instead of a Mason Miller. You're kind of sort of nodding at that one, Tony.
I mean, what I heard was that DeVries was going to be the going price for any of the top pieces on the board. Durang, Kwan, I would assume Mason Miller is in that with 5 years of control is certainly in that kind of tier. So I don't know that, you know, people will view it as an overpay because in all of our minds, Leo is like,
he's already a Fernando Tatis.
Right.
He's going to the Hall of Fame.
But he's not. That's just the facts. He has not played a game at the big. He could very well go to the big leagues and do what we see the two kids, or the three young men in Washington are doing. But we also have seen what they are not where Toddy is.
They're not finished products.
They're not yet. And so I say all that to say, regardless of whether people think they overpaid or not, I just think with the way that this really kind of robust market kind of is coming together, that was going to be the grandioso piece for a prospect. It's the biggest prospect. He's the biggest prospect that has moved on this board. So when the Padres call, and trust me, these teams know who's looking for what. Of course, they're gonna set the bar extremely high. So I don't know that it's an overpay.
I put on Twitter, like, this is something that it's a win now move, but it's also setting up for the future. And I gotta wonder how much the control is what AJ. I mean, obviously he's going after Mason Miller, but the control is huge. He's going to be on the team through 2029 because that will be his final year of arbitration. I wonder how much that costs the team or costs the Padres.
It costs a lot.
Here's what I was going to say.
Very expensive.
Yeah, sure. Okay. Last year, I am almost sure we sat here and you had to list them for me because I didn't know who any of them were.
Graham Pauly.
Graham Pauly was
Jacob
one on
Mercy.
The list.
One of them. That's the one I remember.
He was on the list. Anyway, you listed 10 prospects, if I'm not mistaken, that the Padres traded last year at the deadline, and I believe the number was indeed 10. Any of those we're missing at the moment? I'm just curious because I know everybody's got to hold on to their prospects. I can't give up everything. I get it, but prospects are still that.
There was a handful on the Marlins. Xavier Edwards, who was not one of those 10, but had lost to the Rays and ended up on the Marlins, and Graham Pauly. I mean, are those two individuals helping the current Padres right now?
Maybe. Jason Adams.
Now, the Padres haven't given up Jason all their Adams. Prospects. Ethan Salas remains in the system. Chris, if you're so big on win now, would you also be willing to trade Ethan Salas in the next 4.5 hours if the right deal materialized?
I guess I am, Ben. I guess I am. I want a parade, and I want one. You know,
I mean, according to the Boston Reporter, the Padres certainly did offer Ethan Salas. Salas.
Yeah. So, like, I mean, clearly, don't we want? Look, the risk is great in trading DeVries because he could be the next superstar, and we could sit there 2 or 3 years from now and go, oh man, and he's just destroying everything. But even if he does that, he can do that if we ended up winning the World Series.
Right.
So I don't know how you can complain if you're a Padre fan because we're trying to win the thing.
What level, like, think of any superstar in the league right now. What level of player would it take for you to be like,
what?
Sorry. What level of player would it take for you to feel like, man, we messed up that one?
I think he need to be better than Fernando.
That's
what my logic was with the whole Juan Soto trade was if James Wood, because that was really the big piece, if he turns out to be, because they compared him to left-handed hitting Aaron Judge, if he turned into Aaron Judge,
yes,
then yeah, you'd be like, this kind of sucks.
So that's
a high bar to put on a kid who's 19 years old.
I think if you If you do convert Mason Miller to being a starter, which has been talked about, and he turns into an all-star starter, I don't care how good Leo gets.
True.
You're fine. Now, if he just remains a reliever, albeit however good of a reliever is, and he pitches, you know, 67 innings a season, I may be a little worried about how good Leo's going
to
be.
What kind of,
as an
everyday player. How big of a star would Leo have to be for you to feel?
I mean, yeah, if he's an everyday all-star, you know, I don't know if he has to be as good as Fernando, but if he's an everyday all-star and we only have a reliever,
that
I'll
be
go, that
stuff.
Might not be, you may have given up too much.
He turns into a Stephen Kwan or something like that?
How about if all we have is a reliever, but when Tony goes to visit Leo DeVries' plaque in Cooperstown, he's wearing a 2025 World Series champion ring. Will that be okay?
See, now I want to win every World Series.
I'm wearing the champion
ring. I don't want to win.
You're
wearing
because we. Well, you'll get
right.
You're
wearing
get one
it.
If we win this year, right?
Okay. No, it's if Mason Miller gets the last out of the World Series for you, that it doesn't matter.
That's
doesn't
thank
matter.
You, Paul.
But
I agree. That's a
here's
high
the other thing. Keep about
will
keep that in mind about Mason is he was a starter and had a lot of arm issues beforehand.
Yes.
And so we gotta, you know, temper your
yeah. It's not it's not a done deal that they're
sure.
gonna convert. Now they've had success with guys like Seth Lugo, Stephen Kolek. They know how to do it.
Right.
Michael
King.
Michael King.
They're considering it, but I would not consider that to be a done deal that he's going to be converted.
You got multiple
to
years
be a starter.
You got multiple years to figure it out. Right?
Here's a question, and I'll start with Chris because you like thinking outside the box. You mentioned the Dodgers and how they won the World Series last year. Could the Padres be considering something kind of crazy this postseason? And, you know, if they keep Dylan Cease, they've been looking for ways to turn him around. Could Dylan Cease be the sixth horseman and move him to the bullpen? I mean, he's been really good for the first time through the order, and then he falls apart. Could you just be going, you know, like massive bullpen games like every other day where you're just going, you know, Cease for a couple of innings and you've got then your five horsemen after that? You could eat a lot of devastating innings that way in the postseason and convert one of your hard-throwing starters into a reliever.
Yeah, I wouldn't put it past Mike Shildt to think of something like that. And I probably already actually has thought of something like that because that's what he's prepared for anything. The Padres, to me, pitching-wise, it's an embarrassment of riches right now. If you get Michael King back, we haven't mentioned Nick Pivetta. You got two
that's
guys
crazy that we haven't mentioned him either. Right?
I know.
Right? I mean, you got two guys that are at least going to go five innings in a playoff
game.
And
Yu Darvish looked like Yu Darvish.
Yu Darvish is going to, right. So Darvish is going to go five or six. And, man. So you at least got the fourth game four of any series could be the best bullpen day of all time.
I might consider moving Dylan Cease to the bullpen, at least for the playoffs.
I just don't know.
You guys are making my skin crawl the way you keep talking about this postseason thing. Like, can we let's just get there?
Oh,
first.
I know.
Three-game lead on the Reds, three games behind the Dodgers. It excites people, Tony. Come on now. I mean, think about the 2022 year. Who is rolling out there for Game 4 of both the Division Series and the Championship Series? Sean Manaea and Mike Clevenger. And now you're looking at, like, let's say you keep Cease. It's going to be a Yu Darvish or a Dylan Cease rolling out there for a Game 4, or a J.P. Sears, or, like you said, a bullpen-type day with Vasquez and Kolek and Berger.
Let me address Tony just for a second, because I know it's hard. You're a ball player, and it's hard to take
one game at
that.
A time.
Welcome
one
to game at a time. That ball player hat. And you don't want to talk about something that hasn't materialized yet. I totally get that.
I'm just focus on the Cardinals.
That's how Mike Shildt and the weekend. Team has to approach it. But this move is not about getting to the playoffs. They could get to the playoffs without Mason Miller. This move is about winning in the playoffs. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
Mason Miller gives them a much better chance to win in the playoffs. I don't think he's a huge difference maker over the next 2 months. They already had the best bullpen in baseball. That's not changing too much over the long term. But over a short series, if you can deploy him four times in a seven-game series, five times in a seven-game series, along with the rest of your bullpen, that could be a huge difference in October.
There's no doubt. And listen, when you guys kind of hit on it. When you get I'm gonna go there. When you get into the postseason.
It's not 2 months, Tony. All you're doing is talking about the playoffs.
What are you doing? We haven't even gotten there yet.
He's still focused on the Cardinals.
It's not
tomorrow.
Your fault.
2 months, right? Or we get to the postseason, right? you don't need all of your starters. I mean, it'd be lovely if all your starters go six and they get you to the seventh and you hand it up. But we typically know that in one of those games, the starter doesn't go. The fact that you have, and I think you brought up a great point earlier, a lefty in Adrian Mordejon that can eat up a whole lefty inning if he needs to, and he can get righties out. And then you can go down. You can go down the line from there. Suarez, Estrada. You head to Adam. Then you head to Miller. Then you head. I mean, that doesn't seem like the most. That's going to give you the best chance to win a ball game if you're on the other side of that.
I don't want to be the other manager.
No,
I already said they're not going to give up a run in the postseason, and they're going to wait for each game for Manny to pop a solo homer, and that's it. I mean, that's all they're going to need.
All right, let's. It's our 97 Through the Fan Padres Roundtable presented commercial-free by San Diego Roundtable Pizza. No draft, no seventh-inning stretch today. We got too much going on. The speculation continues about the bat the Padres are going to get before the end of the day. Let's throw out some names. I mean, who do you want to see the Padres get? Stephen Kwan, obviously, if they could still pull it off, would be great, but he doesn't necessarily fill that need for a little slug that the Padres have been looking for. He's like another, maybe even better version of Luis Arraez that you'd be adding to the team. Is that, Chris, the kind of player you're looking for, the kind of bat you're looking to add, or would you rather have more of a traditional power guy, a slugger into your lineup?
Scraby asked me this yesterday and brought up Stephen Kwan, and my first thought was he's good if you want another Luis Arraez. But my second thought is what Braden mentioned, and that is Arraez is up for a contract, right,
yes,
this year. So Stephen Kwan seems to be a really good addition in that regard. And I think he could even put him in the leadoff spot and ask Fernando to drop into the four thing. And I think you could really lengthen the lineup quite a bit and change it. He's also, somebody said, he's won the Gold Glove every year he's played. So he's won 3 years. He's won three Gold Gloves. That doesn't bother me either.
And two more years of control.
All right. And so he's a little, yeah, he's a really good player. And I like him. I also don't mind the Taylor Ward pickup, if that's a guy from the Angels, because I do think he answers your slug category.
They're buying,
category.
Chris. You didn't hear that? They're buying?
I don't know that the Padres have necessarily been looking for slug. I think they're looking to round out their lineup. And if they can get a bat that they can put in the middle, they'll take it. I think, you know, they'd like a right-handed bat, but, you know, there ain't too many of those, I think, that are available. So
real quick, Tony, but if they got Kwan, if they did, they could put Fernando, a right-handed bat, in the middle of the lineup, and there would be the guy.
Yeah, but I don't necessarily know that Kwan would be inserted at the top of the lineup.
You don't think he'd be the leadoff guy?
He may not be. I mean, do you want to move Fernando out of the leadoff spot?
I don't know
that. They did that for a little bit, and then they moved him right back. It lasted like five or six games, and then he was right back there.
Paul, ultimately, it's kind of working right now. I mean, the offense has been really good lately. But there will be another, you know, there'll be a slump here or there. Then I can do that all the way through. What I liked, though, especially in yesterday's game, is seeing Gavin Sheets drop to the eighth slot and having that ability to hit a home run. Whoever you add gives Mike Shildt the ability then to put a guy like Gavin Sheets in the eight hole as opposed to having to rely on him to hit fifth or sixth like he did for most of the season. It's kind of a taste of hopefully what's to come for the Padres. Tony, you mentioned Laureano. I mean, Paul, what kind of bat do you want to see here?
I don't really have a preference, honestly, kind of like what Tony was saying. Like, whether you go out and get the big bopper or just a guy that's going to get on base, give you a good at-bat, and lengthen your lineup, at that point, it's really going to come down to what does it cost you to get? Like, right, what does it cost you to get a Laureano? What does it cost to, I mean, Taylor Ward, I think, has been the most attractive piece for the Padres for, like, I don't know, 3 months right now. I just haven't really heard anything on him. I don't know what the Angels are doing. Haven't seen his name.
They don't know what they're doing either.
They don't. They never know what they're doing. They didn't trade Shohei Ohtani, like, morons.
They said they're buying right now. They're in it.
But I have not seen Taylor Ward's name, like, in any rumors, any smoke to it. So I'm not sure if there's a deal to be made there or not. He just checks off, like, every box that the Padres have needed pretty much all year long. I mentioned him earlier, I'd be fine with, like, a Tommy Pham reunion, honestly, and I don't know how much that costs to go get him, but just somebody in left field that lengthens your lineup a little bit that can give you everyday production defensively as well is fine by me.
Now, of course, we know Tommy Pham's real value to the Padres is his AJ scout around the league and sounding board that he calls whenever he needs an opinion on a player. You lose that if you bring him to the Padres. He won't be around scouting for AJ anymore. One guy who doesn't seem to be in the mix anymore, according to Buster Olney, with less than 10 hours, doesn't appear to be any attraction for Marcell Ozuna, a name from the Braves that we had heard as a potential designated hitter. He also has the 10-5 rights where he can decline a trade, doesn't even need the no-trade clause to do that. So, Braden, what about you? Who's your preferred bat here?
You know, like, I think Luis Robert Jr. like intrigues me, you know, because he's on a bad team. He's starting to heat up a little bit. I mean, I know he's gotten scratched a couple times now or some injuries, but like pure athleticism, he's an athlete, and maybe he can find a new lease on life in San Diego for this kind of second half or really, you know, last 2 months stretch. Steals bases. He's a good center fielder, but he'd probably play left. He'd probably be a really great left fielder for the San Diego. He could do a lot of different things, and he's got some pop. So, like, him I like. But, I you know, if they can find a way to pull off getting a Stephen Kwan, you know, I like this deadline being these are our off-season moves, too. And so you kind of kill two birds with one stone. You replace Arise with Kwan. You replace Cease with J.P. Sears. You replace Suarez with Miller. And so you have, you know, not as many holes that you have to worry about during the off-season. That will help you right now in 2025.
Matt, what do you think? What, you got some breaking news? He's got his phone out.
No, I don't have any breaking news. Right. But the big thing with
Luis, stop watching MTV over there.
I am
on
Baseball Reference. I'm trying to confirm because I don't believe that. Yeah, I'm looking through it now. Luis Robert Jr. has never played left field in his career. So do you want a guy to just come into Petco Park and try to play left field? I mean, I know he's an athlete and everything like that, but I just am not willing to gamble on a guy that we don't even know he's going to produce like he used to, and he's going to play a position for the first time in his career if he comes here, because you're not moving Jackson.
Yeah, I'd be highly surprised if they're in on Rob.
Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
Robert.
I've seen reports that it looks like the White Sox may not move him at all.
They want
to trade deadline. I don't know if that means they're going to pick up his $20 million option for next year and try it again. They had the opportunity to trade him, but it doesn't seem to be happening. All right, I'm getting news typed in from Adam Klug right now. Astros still monitoring the starting pitching market, Dylan Cease and Sandy Alcantara, but sources say they're now more focused on upgrading the bullpen. That's the thing about these hours before the trade deadline. You'll get conflicting reports. The Astros were all in on Cease 24 hours ago.
Number
one
spot.
They were all in on Alcantara. Now they're all in on the bullpen. Maybe none of these reports was right to begin with.
Bingo.
Ding, 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 ding. Just throwing stuff out there.
Well, let me ask a generic trade deadline question for all of you. Paulie, I'll start with you. Is this the right time for the trade deadline? Would you like to see it earlier, later, or is this the smart moment for Major League Baseball to kind of set that time to change your roster?
I don't have a problem with where it's at right now. I mean, we saw it like in 2020. Remember, it was the end of August, the shortened 60-game season. Like, I don't know. If you moved it to the end of August, then it's really, you're eliminating a lot of teams. There's only, you know, there's going to be a fewer amount of teams that are like, okay, we're really only in it for this month. We got to just grind and see if we can get into the playoffs. And I don't know that earlier really does anything for me as well. The only thing I would like to see is I think that this should be a day where there are no baseball games. Like, I would like to have, and it's like, I love that the Padres don't play today. Like, no games. It's trade deadline. Like, make it, you know, 9 p.m. on the East Coast, 6 p.m. on the West Coast, and it's just a day of chaos and rumors and updating timelines.
Tony, what do you think? You know, if you made it later, you wouldn't force teams like the Guardians, like the, you know, Giants to make a decision right now on giving up on their season or going for it. But if you also waited until the end of August, you would have completely different teams than competing for the World Series that were your team for the entire year. And I don't know that fans want that either.
I don't think they want that. I think it sets up perfectly where it is, because this is about the time of season where you are confident, you know what you want to, what you need as a team that's buying. And you're confident, if you're being realistic, that what you need to be giving up at this point. I think if it's any earlier, I mean, shoot, Padre fans would have traded everybody away if we had this trade deadline earlier.
There was no trade deadline. We'd have no squad.
We'd have no players. So, you know, I think it's in this perfect spot. I think this is kind of gives every team a legitimate chance to kind of understand the roster. And not only that, what's out there. It's right after, like, kind of the fun all-star game. Yeah. Go a little bit further. I think it's set up where it should be.
Braden, you think it's in the right spot here?
I agree. Yeah, especially, you know, I think it has to be after the all-star break. You know, let everybody enjoy the first half of the season, make sure every team's representing the all-star game, you know, that, and not having guys play their whole first half with somebody else and wear a different cap in the all-star game. It complicates things. Not to say it doesn't happen, because you still could make trades. And then after the all-star break, you know, right at the end of July, you know, you get through some of the dog days, people are on vacation to the end of July, and then right when you get to August, it's time to gear back into MLB and into the final push and the final 2 months. So why not start off August with this day of all of these trades and rumors and moves? There's a couple of games today, which is unfortunate for Major League Baseball.
Yeah, I do agree with Paul.
There should be no games today.
Like, yeah, let no everybody games. Have a chance to change city, because you know what happens a lot of times is trades happen and you end up not having the guy for that game.
Right.
Like, give it a day, let everybody do their travel, at least get there the day of the first game. I think that'd be dope.
Yeah, maybe they
hug watch
the
is so fun though. Like, you watch players on the field. Oh no, they're hugging.
It's fun to watch for us, but that don't seem all that fun. No, I mean, man in the minor leagues yesterday looked like he was about to cry as he was getting
Baez,
moved.
Right?
Yeah, Baez.
He had Buto yesterday in the Mets bullpen.
He was like trying to figure out his life out there for a second. Man.
Sir Anthony Dominguez getting traded in between a doubleheader.
You've gone through multiple trade deadlines as a player, seeing guys get traded. How difficult is that from the human side for a lot of these guys, even though they know it's a business?
It just depends. Sometimes, I mean, I wanted to get traded, so I was looking. When they got traded here, I was like, great. And, you know, you show up.
You weren't the only one. I was sitting with your dad.
My dad
was pumped. When that came down, we were at a tournament somewhere, and when you got traded...
My dad was the one who broke the news to me. That was kind of it.
What crazy. It was awesome.
But I'm just saying, I pulled up to the game. Like, game was like in the first inning, and the Giants were on the mound, I believe it was. I walked in the dugout. It's like you're meeting like people you've never met before. So your mind is never in a good spot. It's so much stuff is happening at the time. So to answer your question, it's not all that great until you actually get to the baseball part.
Right.
On trade deadline day, 1 + 1 rarely equals 2, but here's a little math for you. Bob Nightingale tweets, the Padres still on the prowl for an outfielder. They're confident they'll land one before the deadline. J.P. Morosi tweets, Ryan O'Hearn is expected to be traded today by the Baltimore Orioles.
He's another bat.
Does anyone think that Ryan O'Hearn is the guy and the right fit possibly coming for the Padres?
I'd take him.
I can see that, yeah.
I would take him, too.
No, that's
easy. Yes.
There's not a lot of bats out there right now that we probably
would. He's terrible.
I don't want this guy.
Bring him in. Yeah, you know me, Ben. Any big league player who has a pulse, bring him in. Trade a prospect.
We got a couple minutes left. Let's talk about the team just as it stands right now, because they have won 5 in a row, playing really good baseball at the moment. Maybe the best baseball of the season. Tony, you've been, you know, watched pretty much every game all year long. Would you agree with that assessment? I mean, they were so hot early, but they didn't sweep the Mets early in the season.
They didn't, you know? But their offense was like, it was humming. Like, it was like every day you saw the games that they lost, it was like fluky, the ones they lost early. I do, though, think that we're seeing that level return. And it started before we started actually seeing the results. I mean, the at-bats have just gotten better and better and better, and you're starting to see it now be up and down the lineup. And that's the thing that separated them in that first month of the season, is that it didn't matter. It was just up and down. It was relentless of the type of at-bats. You're seeing it. I don't know if it's quite to that level yet where it's every day, but – I'd say the April side was a little bit stronger.
Yeah, Matt, as fans, it's always frustrating when you don't see the results, but it's clear. Even the bats that aren't a win, quote-unquote, right, like Jake Cronenworth fouling
14,
off,
yeah.
You know, into 14 pitches. And, you know, Gavin Sheets did that. Even when he was slumping, you know, some long at-bats. It definitely looks like the Padres are a much more problematic lineup than they were just 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, I say it on the Scraby Show all the time. When this team is right, they're moving the line. They're hitting the gaps. They're doing everything. Everybody is contributing in the lineup. And like you said, like Jake Cronenworth, 14 pitch at bat, that is contributing, even though he didn't get on base or whatever. I do think that this offense is really fun when they're all hitting on all cylinders, because it's just hit after hit after hit. Yesterday, I think Clay Holmes had two outs, and then the Lindor error. Three straight hits after that, and they scored some runs. So I like the philosophy, and I like what they're doing when they do it right. They're very good.
We said this last year, right? Like, it's a fun offense to watch when they are executing the way they are.
And by the way, the depth in the bullpen. I mean, we've already talked about the addition of Mason Miller. I was going to ask this question. I'll throw it out for all of you just in the last couple of minutes. Of the non-four horsemen, and now five, filthy five or whatever filthy it is, five. Which reliever do you trust the most? Is it Wandy? Is it David
it's
Morgan?
It's David Morgan for
David
me.
Morgan's your guy, Tony?
David Morgan for me.
I felt Schultz guy.
I felt the same way about Reynolds. And here's the thing that I think we all need to keep in mind, because we love the big four, or what would you call it, the sexy six, or whatever.
That's when Musgrove pitches in October.
Whatever.
Can
whatever
we get to the seven deadly arms at some point?
We love that, but you have to.
You two are having way too much fun with this.
And remember when at some point in the season, Jason Adams had more appearances, had more than half the appearances of the Padres this season. And I think it's important to remember, bullpen only really survives if a couple of reasons. You got a starting rotation like maybe the Phillies do, where all of those guys are giving quality starts, or you're developing guys on the fly. And that is what they've been able to do with Morgan and Reynolds in some regards. I know he's been up and down, but you have to develop these guys to know, so that you know on a day where Estrada may be down or a day where Suarez is down, that you can send them out there and feel good about it. I think all these innings that he's gotten, especially here recently, is kind of a byproduct of him getting the run out there earlier and getting some legs, some innings under his belt.
It's a great point Tony makes, because you can trade Eduardo Nunez. You can trade a guy like that. I know there's a Tyson Nabors. There's other arms. Even after depleting them in this Mason Miller trade, the Padres have been so good at identifying and developing bullpen arms, essentially. They're like light years ahead of the rest of the league.
We often talk about Ruben Niebla, but Ben Fritz is a huge part of that. And they just are in sync so well. I was talking to Ben Fritz a little bit yesterday about the development of Kolek and Vasquez, and just the way him and Ruben are so in sync with what they're seeing, the progression of it all. It makes sense why they've been able to have so much success with the relievers and how they're able to kind of develop these guys.
But it does underscore again, going back to the beginning of the show, why I'm nervous about trading Leodalis DeVries, because they haven't been able to do that as consistently with hitters.
Nobody does, though.
That's true.
The position players are the hardest thing to predict in baseball. I mean, that's just what it is. Toddy worked out. Merrill worked out. These are like generation type players. However, you're not going to hit on those all the time, because hitting is really hard.
All right, last thing, and this is just kind of a personality test. Going forward, will you be cheering for or against Leo DeVries to have a good career? Matt?
Have a good career. I mean, I'm not going to cheer against the guy because he got traded.
He's lying right now.
No,
he's absolutely lying right now.
You know why I'm going to say this? Because he's stuck on the A's. Terrible for him.
I was just going to say, are we going to have like a geographical rivalry with the Las Vegas A's?
Okay.
Yeah,
there we go.
Because you're not going to see him until they're in Vegas.
As long as they don't do something stupid and trade him to one of our division rivals.
That's true.
I don't really care what.
Yeah, if he ever, when he makes the ace, he's only going to be there for six months at maximum.
By the time he's the ace, they're going to want to win.
And it doesn't mean that I'm not going to see him after a 40 home run season and be like, huh.
That's the thing. We don't want the pain of Leo Dallas DeBrees being a perennial All Star, but we also don't want to be the jerks who are cheering against this kid.
No, we don't have to do that. But isn't the answer to this question based on what we do at the end of this season? If we win the World Series, then he will forever be linked to that.
Yeah.
So whenever he makes an All-Star team, I'll think of good times.
No. That's a good point.
I want my man to have the greatest career ever. I really do.
If they pull a Boston Red Sox with Adrian Gonzalez, I'm going to be upset.
Do not go anywhere. We still have 4 hours live until the trade deadline. Braden, Tony, Matt, and Chris will be reacting for the next 4 hours and bringing you all the breaking news. The Padres, I think I can safely say, I guarantee they are not done yet today. There will be at least another move, if not multiple moves, made by AJ Preller. Really appreciate it. It's our 97.3 The Fan Padres Roundtable, presented commercial-free by San Diego Roundtable Pizza. For Scraby, for Tony, for Paulie, for Braden, for Chris, I'm Ben. Trade deadline just hours away here on 97.3 The Fan. Don't go anywhere.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.